We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that three-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, NV, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got our guest host, Kim Whitley, joining us today.
That's right. Kim said I had to be here for this one.
That's right. She was telling the stories behind the scenes before y'all brothers walked in. We have the Isley brothers here. Welcome.
Yes. Thank you.
How y'all feeling?
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. We're good.
Kim was telling us all types of stories before you guys walked in about shows, performances, and all this other stuff.
Yes, Ernie and Ron, let me tell you something. This right here, the unique sound, that's the one thing I want everybody to understand. They have had a unique sound for years and the decades, like, you know, from early childhood to now. You think about how long your music, you've gone through generations. I just, you know, I bow down.
7 decades in the business.
Wow. What, 8? Ever since 1959 was the first hit record, Shout.
Wow.
Yeah. 1959.
About 63 or 64 years. Wow. And now, number one record for 5 weeks and number one album. The album has been there on 38 weeks. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you keep reinventing yourself? I mean, because it seems like it's new every time. New feelings.
That's from God. You know, it's just we've been blessed.
With so many writers and young writers and new writers and, you know, and OG writers, and they all love to work with you guys. Why do you think that is?
Because, you know, it's, wow. It's hard, it's really hard to explain, but we just enjoy every minute of doing what we do, you know.
And do you ever get surprised, like you're looking at the verses with how many young fans you have and how many new fans that you guys, you know, turned on to you from the verses and things like that?
It was calling you a cat daddy. Right?
Cat daddy.
Just walking through the airport, kids 5, 6 years old, when, hey, that's Mr. Biggs, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me tell you, that last picture you had on Instagram, I don't know, you had the black and white on. I'm telling you now, I'm a friend of Candy, but you look, y'all, when I tell you, y'all still have this sex appeal. Do y'all understand that?
All right.
That is just so good. I ask my question is, What is your favorite? I know you have a lot of songs, but what is your favorite song to sing? What is y'all's favorite song?
Well, you know, every night we have to do certain songs. You know, it's just maybe stuff like
That's not hard.
Let it's your it. Thing or okay. Shout. We have to do that every night. Mm-hmm. You know.
Wow.
And you go through the airport, when we're in any town, we see people at weddings, and they're always doing that song, you know. And it's really a great feeling to watch somebody do your song like that, especially when it's 63 years old, you know.
Now, listen, nobody plans out a 7-decade career, so. When y'all first recorded Shout and, you know, Shout came out, what did y'all think y'all careers were going to look like?
Well,
what was success to y'all back then?
Well, everybody was excited. And when we would go on shows, they would have to stop the show because people would be shouting in the audience and it's making people sit down in your chair. And, and so, you know, that felt great. I mean, it really felt great, you know. We didn't know it was going to last
this long.
That's right.
Because nobody knows that, you know.
But from the beginning, let's start from the beginning for people that don't know you.
Yeah.
What made you guys want to create this group? What made you start singing? Was it church? Was it mama was bothering you, said, sing, boy, sing? Or like, what made you say,
right,
yeah, we're going to start this?
My mother and father, my mother was a teacher. You know, she taught, you know, music. I was singing at 2 years old. I won a war bond. At church for, you know, at 2 years old. So we had a group ever since I was 4 or 5.
Was it always the Isley Brothers?
Yes.
That was the name of the group.
That's
from there.
It.
No other name. It's always been.
That's
there.
It. Wow. And we were like skeptical when we came to New York because we said, hey, they're not going to remember our name. Mm-hmm. You know, Frankie Lyman and Teenagers and all, you know. And we were wondering, say, well, I hope they remember our name, you know.
When did y'all realize y'all had something here?
When we were in Cincinnati, we won everything that they put us up, you know, every amateur hour, everything, television shows, everything. We won it all from that time on, all the way up. Yeah.
This was before Shout.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And with your mom being a teacher, did she never not want you to get into this industry called the music industry where you're on the road and all that?
They wanted us to be the Mill Brothers. My father wanted us to, you know, have a group and last as long as the Mill Brothers. Then my younger brother, Ernie and Marvin, they weren't even, you know, in the music business then, you know, and they came to New York, New Jersey, after we recorded Twist and Shout and Shout, and they, like, watched us. And my father always wanted us to be self-contained. Ernie started playing drums, and then he went to playing guitar. Then my little brother played bass. Then my brother-in-law was playing keyboards. And we became that self-contained group.
So your father said, let's not pay anybody on the outside anymore. Let's keep
Ernie everything.
Daddy said, keep all the money. Now, was that like, Ernie, was that self-taught, those instruments?
Yes.
Wow.
I started with drums first.
Yeah, at the time, Jimi Hendrix was living at the house, you know, and he was playing.
What? Just going to throw that name out there.
Yeah, he was there, you know, like March of 63 to like November of 65.
Why was Jimi Hendrix just living at your house?
Well, he was a guitar player, you know.
Okay.
And so, you know, we watched him. Ernie watched him, you know. We didn't know Ernie was going to wind up playing guitar, you know, because he was playing drums at the time. And later on, Ernie started playing the guitar. And when I wrote the song, It's Your Thing, Ernie picked up his bass and started playing a bass. I say, you know, we were at the session in New York, and I said, hey, you need to play bass on this song, you know. And he played bass on It's Your Thing, you know. from that time on.
Now, family could be a good thing and it could be a bad thing, right? Because sometimes too much of your brother is just too much. How much fighting did y'all get into?
That's exactly what I was about to
And who won?
We didn't have no fights. None? You know, no fights.
Even
you know, hey.
When you were little?
Oh, they would, hey.
They respected you.
We were close. My father taught us, hey, you better, you know, at the time when I was young, mm-hmm. we all had to stay together. When my older brother wanted to go out to a party, they had to take me mm-hmm. and my other brother, you know.
Oh,
he had a girlfriend. We were waiting on the outside of the house. So I want you all to always stay together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How are things now? Because I know one of your brothers was suing you over the Isley Brothers trademark.
Yeah, that's not really a problem. You know, it's hard for me to discuss it now, but it's not a problem whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. And did you have the problem early on with owning your own masters and stuff like that? Did y'all own that? Or if not, did y'all get it back?
Yes, we owned some of them.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Some of it.
Mm-hmm.
We started a record company in 1969, mm-hmm. Teaneck Records.
That's your thing.
Mm-hmm.
And all the way up into this point now, I have another company. Which is RI Top 10, and it owns everything.
How do y'all only own some of it? Don't the masters go back to you after a certain point?
Well, it's all according to what you sign, you know.
Mm-hmm.
At some time, when we started off, we signed certain things in there. And we had certain clauses in our contract that after 10 years we would
get it back.
It all would come back.
Oh, dude, y'all should have been in debt 8 times already, right?
Hell yeah.
That's right.
7 decades in the music business.
Oh, yeah. Man.
But that's good to have you. I mean, what's going on with Ed Sheeran and this Marvin Gaye situation? Have you all, I don't know if you know what's going on, but... Ed Sheeran is being sued by Marvin Gaye's family over sampling. Have you all ever heard something and you were like, wait a minute.
That's us.
Right. That sound like us. Have y'all ever been like, wait a minute.
Well, the rappers always had respect for our work.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love it when you call me Big Pop.
Big
that's mm-hmm. Between the Sheets.
Between the Sheets, yeah.
Today was a good day. Ice Cube, that was Footsteps in the Dark. There's a very strong association.
We have more samples than anybody in the industry.
Oh.
Over 1,000 samples.
Do you have to clear everything? Do you listen to it
before
it goes?
Yes, we have to clear.
Mm-hmm. And it's legal samples out there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So when you heard Biggie, right? The first time you heard Biggie, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure Puff called y'all, and y'all heard the stuff that Biggie was talking about. What was your first mind frame? Because I'm sure Puff, was it Puff that called you?
We flipped out.
Yeah.
He flipped out.
Yeah, the first time I heard it, I knew he had a hit,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it was done in such a signature way for him, you know. I'll see you some ladies tonight that you'll be having my baby. I started laughing when I...
Yeah, the whole thing.
But I knew it was a hit.
The whole thing.
Mm-hmm. I knew it was a hit, though.
He didn't reach out, though? He didn't reach out beforehand?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Okay.
But you knew it was a hit.
We were at the studio together talking about doing, you know, he wanted to do other records with us, mm-hmm. you know.
Oh, you were in the studio with Big?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And Puffy. Mm-hmm. You know, Puffy did a couple of records with us, you know. One of them was called Float On, I think.
Float On, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Number one song here in New York. We had the record In Between the Sheets, mm-hmm. Jay-Z, everybody. You know?
Then you became a villain.
Yeah, Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah, how'd
that
happen?
He became Mr. Big.
Yeah,
real quick, when's the last time y'all didn't get a check? When was the last day y'all didn't get a check?
I don't know.
I
can't answer that one.
Check the song y'all sing.
Yeah.
It's even during the pandemic, y'all came out with Friends and Family,
yeah.
And it was everywhere. I said, what in the world?
Mm.
I'm trying to tell everybody I'm your cousin, but.
So then I was. Then you turned the villain, Mr. Biggs.
Yeah.
Now break that down and. You know, for a long time, that's what everybody looked at you as, Mr. Biggs.
Yeah.
So how was that? Whose idea was that? Was that was yours or was Kel's? Or?
R. Kelly wrote the song, Keep It On A Down Low. Mm-hmm. And he said, I wrote this song, and I see you doing it. And my mother wanted you to do it. I met R. Kelly on Sunset. Mm-hmm. He's driving a car, and he rolled the window down. Hey, stop. I was walking, coming out of a studio. Mm-hmm. And he said, "Hey man, we gotta talk. I want you on my record. And so I listened at the record.
Did you know who he was at the time?
Huh?
Did you know who he was at the time?
Yeah.
Okay.
He had out a couple of songs. Mm-hmm. He had out, I think he Body Calling Me or mm-hmm. something. Mm-hmm. And so his mother was a big fan of ours. And so she had taught him all our songs. Mm-hmm. And so we got together to do that download, and he said, "I see you being Mr. Big. He said, "And we're gonna do this video. And I want to hear your foot when you come in the studio." Mm-hmm. That's how the video was. Mm-hmm. R. Kelly is really a genius mm-hmm. man. With doing music with his whole mind and thoughts, you know, and we went on. We did other songs, you know, Contagious. I had number one albums with him, and sold millions of records. You know, our first album that we did with Contagious is over 3 million, mm-hmm. and which was the first for DreamWorks at the time, mm-hmm. and after that he did an album with me that came to charts number one. You know, I think one of the albums that had Contagious in it was number two, mm-hmm. and the other one was number one, and on and on and on.
Any fear at the time? Because you were shouted and you were between the sheets, and now you were the villain, yeah. Man, Mr. Biggs, you know what I mean, with the cane, with the sword right. on it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you know, my brother gave me the cane. My brother took a picture with the cane.
On the Faceless 3 album, Rudolph.
Yeah, yeah. Rudolph. He gave it to me for my birthday, and I started carrying the cane, you know. I didn't know what nothing about the cane, you know, about the cane would wind up being a video talking about. You gonna hit me with the cane, you know, that type of thing. But hey, man, it's been wonderful, wonderful. Let me say, we watch you guys. I know everything that you do, everything that you do, and we watch you.
Thank you.
And I think what you're doing is so great, man. And never stop doing it.
Thank you.
Yeah, amen.
Thank you.
I feel like you've been the villain before, though. I'm sure, you know, some man has approached you about being with a woman. I feel like they're brothers, though.
They joking.
Yeah, brothers. I don't know about that.
What does tour life look for y'all, you know, after all of these years? It ain't like it was 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. What does tour life look for y'all now?
You know, we wouldn't know what to do if we weren't doing a tour. We weren't singing. And then seeing the response from the people, you know, mm-hmm. just watching the response and getting to see what they like and what song. Hey, hell, you want me to sing Hello, It's Me? You want me to sing Contagious? Mm-hmm. Do you want me to sing Smooth Sailing? You know, and I do that every night, you know. And I don't know what I would be doing if I didn't do that.
Mm-hmm. I always wonder how different does the world look. The brothers like y'all, because y'all literally were out before, you know, before the civil rights era, you know, like what was life like back then, Torrin, in the 50s and 60s?
We were always just wanting to be the number one thing. And that is no lie. We wanted to be the number one thing. In England, we went to England with the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and Elton John and them people, like the Beatles were imitating us. Mm. And he said, and Paul McCartney would tell you, say, hey, if it don't be for the Isley Brothers, we'd still be here in in Liverpool, you know.
Did you ever run into, discrimination or anything? I'm just wondering, like I said, what it was like then, because you all, mm-hmm. it's something mm-hmm. different. You're together, you're a family, but you're going all over the world. Did you ever experience anything like that?
A couple of times. We went to a club one time, and when we got ready to go in, the guy said, "Hey, man, hold it. I thought you guys were white."
Really?
You know?
Damn.
He said, and he paid us right then. So, you know, you don't have to go, you know, it's a lot of different type of people here. And we laughed about it because we got paid. We didn't have to go on.
Yeah. So basically, he was telling you, don't go in this club because something might happen.
We don't know what's in there. Some Kuka plans and all that.
Do y'all remember how much the world changed after the Civil Rights Act of 1964?
You know, I would have thought it would be way different now, you know, when Luther King was doing his thing, man, you know, it started changing, you know, and we were hoping for, you know, change, but you know, hey, it didn't start going back a little, pushing a little, you know. I think the people are more intelligent now, you know,
really.
The young people, mm-hmm. the young people, it's gonna take that, you know, to change. And the blessing from God, you know, I don't know what's gonna happen, no one knows what's gonna happen, but, mm-hmm. hey. I'm going to do all I can.
Did y'all get involved in any way back then?
Oh, yeah. We did everything they asked us to do. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to do more, you know. Mm-hmm. But at the time, you had people like Sammy Davis and James Brown, everybody, Aretha Franklin, you know, all those people, you know. And we were in the crowd doing our thing, you know.
Who was your biggest competition back then, if there was any? Black competition.
James Brown. And Sam Cooke, you know, Jackie Wilson, you know. Mm-hmm. And we would do, when we were on the show with them, they couldn't go on, man. When we did that song, Shout, we shut it down, mm-hmm. you know. So.
When y'all wrote music, was y'all trying to be like, no, we need to make a record that they know that they can't follow? Was that the way your mind frame when y'all were producing?
That's what we were looking for, mm-hmm. and we didn't get it. And we hit that when we hit It's Your Thing. And from that point on, we went straight to the top.
What inspired that? Because that was kind of like the Bobby Brown My Prerogative of that era.
Yeah. It was like a dream to me. And that was a dream that I had. I said, when I woke up, I started humming the song. I said, no, it's not going to get away. And I went down to my mother's house, and Ernie was there, and he picked up his bass. You know, I said, I got this song, me and my brother. I said, and I sung it for him, and they said, hey. And we put it on tape, and went in the studio, and I did it one time in the mm-hmm. studio, mm-hmm. sang it one time while the band was playing. And then they say, well, it's time to do our part. I say, hey, I already did it.
So it came to you in a dream?
Yeah.
It wasn't like a phrase y'all was saying or nothing like that?
Came to me in a dream. And, you know, at the time, people were saying, you know, it's your thing, you know, do your thing. Or that, you know, that expression was out. But came to me in a dream, you know.
Wow. Now, what about Between the Sheets? How was that song?
Yes.
Between the Sheets, there's a commercial you used to watch. You can still see it on your computer. Chanel No. 5. Mm-hmm. Woman was at a far end of the pool, mm-hmm. and the guy was at the opposite end, and he dove into the water, and he came up through her leg, and they said, shared a fantasy. And I always liked that commercial. And I had my guitar with me with the sound down. And I thought, what would the music be like? And I started playing the chords to Between the Sheets.
Mm. Oh, genius. Genius.
And then we got into the studio, Marvin and Chris, and He says, "Hey man, okay, yeah, you got any lyrics? I got the music. You got any lyrics?" I said, "Yeah, hey girl, ain't no mystery. At least as far as I can see, I want to keep you here, laying next to me, sharing our love." And I was stuck. And Chris picked up a legal pad and said, "Sharing our love between the sheets." I said, "There you go." And Marvin polished off the rest of the song lyrically.
Wow. What was the young lady that gave you that inspiration besides that? Because did she
I refer to that person as my muse.
Okay.
You know, so that could be anyone.
That's
you
right.
know, it could be one of my guitars, for example. I think of all my guitars as female. So, you know, that could be anyone. And of course, in that kind of explanation, he's just into the person that he's with. And there's intimacy there because you can't see what's going on. Mm-hmm. It's between the sheets.
Nice. A lot of people think that intimacy feeling. Is missing from R&B music now. Like, that's one of the reasons that, you know, people like Puff said, R&B is dead.
Ernie
started writing songs about 1973. Mm-hmm. Songs like Harvest for the World, mm-hmm. At Your Best, Your mm-hmm. Love.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, wow.
The song that we did with Beyonce.
Yeah. Yeah, Make Me Say It Again,
Make
Girl.
Me Say It Again. Oh. Fight the Power.
Fight the Power.
Just on and on and on and on, you know. And that was a great thing for us because we could do our thing. Release our records the way we wanted to release, you know. Mm-hmm. I could sing anything that I wanted to sing, you know. I decided those songs like Hello, mm-hmm. those songs like Summer Breeze,
mm-hmm. yeah,
from Listening and Adam.
Yeah.
The song Love the One You With.
Yep.
You know, and those turn out to be big songs for us, but we could do anything that we wanted to do mm-hmm. at the time. And my other brother, he was writing songs like
Groove with You,
mm-hmm. you know.
Have you ever written a song for someone else and then said, "Dang, oh, I want to get that back. Should have kept that song."
Oh, I when I one time. You know, we were thinking about the money, and I said, "Hey, Aretha Franklin should do this your thing." Mm-hmm. And so we were trying to get $15,000 for it at the time, you know. And Aretha Franklin was late at the studio, and she didn't come in.
Damn, oh, so man. Aretha Franklin was going. That was, she took the record. She.
Oh, no.
She was late.
Mm. Oh, you wanted her to hear it.
Yeah, I'll get okay. her. No, she was one of my girlfriends at the time.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
That's talking about. Y'all ain't listening. Y'all ain't hearing what Clay said. He didn't say that was his girlfriend. He said that was one of his girlfriends at the time. So she was mad at you and she didn't show up?
She was late in getting to the studio. And, she didn't do the song.
How do you fix that argument later on? Because, you know.
I know you cursed her.
Yeah. Or did she curse you out for giving away her record, for taking her record?
She did it later
she
on.
She did record it, you think, later on.
She did?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Produced by Luther Vandross.
Yeah.
And what happened? It never came out? Or?
It was on an album.
Well, it came out.
Sounded real good, too.
Clyde okay. Davis wanted us to produce it, and we didn't, you know, we were doing something else, and so she was in the studio with Luther at the time, mm-hmm. so Luther did it on her.
Yeah. How many girlfriends did you have back
yeah,
then?
Yeah, I got so many.
I don't know, man. I was so young, man, and you know, hey,
you lived a life.
It wasn't like the girlfriends that you guys have now. You know, it was just like, hey, we were talking about music, talking about doing music. And she
that's
was.
You sticking with it? That's
what you're going to read up now.
Yeah, you know, when I get a. I think I.
Y'all weren't between the sheets, is what you're saying.
You know, I was. I have on my telephone from that time to now Aretha Franklin, we talk maybe 2 and 3 times a week.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay.
Even when she died. You know, she we were the best of friends.
Okay.
My wife suggested that she used Jennifer Hudson in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I thought you were going to do Halle Berry. He said, Jennifer would be the person for a movie. Mm-hmm. Jennifer came to see her the day. And she sang a song to her. So you know what that song is? And Jennifer said, she said, that's one of the Isley Brothers songs. It was the last song she sung.
Oh, wow.
That's how tight we were.
Mm.
To hear these, you understand? I'm sitting here, I'm such a fan.
He's talking like this regular, but it is for him.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? That's their life.
That's it. That right. It's just so amazing. It's your life, and being a fan, and like we were talking about Gerald LaVert. You know, it's just our lives, and you're just like, yeah, Aretha. We talk every day.
What?
I look at this, and I look at the span of how long you've been. What if you could just? Is there a story of the craziest thing someone did on stage to get your attention or in the audience? Because that'd probably be something I did, chase the tour bus or something like that. But was there ever anything? Did anybody throw anything on stage, jump on stage? Were there ever
I was on the stage singing Lucille,
mm-hmm.
and I fell on my knees and had my eyes closed, and a lady threw a dress over me. And she never want no underwear.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something.
What'd it smell like?
Oh. Never mind. Don't go there.
No fishy. Now I was going to ask, you know, with you coming up, you and Michael Jackson or James Brown never got into a competition type of thing?
No,
because they were both competitors.
That's your young boy, though. It's not James.
Yes. Oh, yeah. We were real tight with James Brown, you know. Michael Jackson wanted to do, they wanted us to produce him when he left Motown.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he was produced by Gamble and Huff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We wanted to keep our sound. And that's, you know, and that's why we discussed certain records that we were doing ourselves, you know. It's kind of hard to come up with those records, you know. We mm-hmm. got to do 9 of them in the album, you know. So, and at the time, I didn't want Ernie playing Summer Breeze on Michael Jackson, because he was like big, you know, at the same, you know, like that would take something away from us.
And that was never a problem, the fact that, you know, everybody wanted you to produce and play for them, and everybody wanted you to sing on their projects. That never created a riff?
Well, that was a discussion that we would have, and we would say, I don't think we should do that at this time,
mm-hmm.
you know. And, you know, I don't know, Ernie might have played a couple of things on different people, you know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But,
wasn't too much of that.
Well, was there any songs that y'all did that y'all didn't believe in, but it ended up being a hit?
When I came down to the house for them to do the song Love the One You With, mm-hmm. they said, hey, man, we're going to do this song.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're going to do. And it was a smash for us, mm-hmm. you know. Yeah.
Did you ever say I told you so?
Why you didn't like it?
No.
Well,
to be honest, I think at that time I was growing into whatever musician or songwriter I was eventually going to be.
Mm-hmm.
It just had not manifested. So Love the One You With as a song is a great song.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the way we did it, like an Isley Brothers song,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, you know, a lot of times, you know, with whatever you're going to do in the future, you can't see, but you'll have a feeling. So that when we got ready to do 3+3, it was like, oh, we're going to record that in California. And I'm like, California? Yeah, and we're going to do the song That Lady. I said, That Lady, that's a cha-cha bossa nova. He said, no, we're going to change the tempo. We're going to change the lyric. We're going to change the melody. And you are going to play lead guitar on it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay. You know, you don't know until you know, until you do it.
Was it a was it a major effort? Because, you know, you listen to all your music and nothing sounds the same. Was that something that you made sure that you focused on and make sure that nothing was ever similar? You know, because Shout didn't sound like Between the Sheets, which didn't sound like that. Like it was totally different, you know?
I remember when CBS first heard That Lady, they said, well, it doesn't sound like it's your thing. It doesn't have trumpets or saxophones on it. But we like it. And that you got elements of R&B, dance, funk, but you also got a lead guitar sound on there. That's unusual. How should we promote it? And we were like, just let it go
that
everywhere.
That was the time that we were trying to have a mostly like the groups that came out of England, Beatles and everybody, it was self-contained. We wanted that self-contained sound, and that's what Who's That Lady was about. That was the time that Clyde Davis signed us, Teaneck Records over there at CBS. You know, he was the one that listened to it, and he had a serious ear. You know, he knew what a hit was, and he did say, y'all should sing, it should be another verse. We went back in the studio and Ernie wrote another verse because it needed three verses.
At that time,
Which was no problem, you know. And then when we came back, the Sony fired Clyde Davis for some bar mitzvahs or something he gave and this and that. We said, well, hey. We just signed it. Don't worry about that. Your record will be out so and so. And while we were going through the arguing about Clyde Davis, record went number one.
What year was this?
73.
You know what I always wonder, like, you know, like y'all got on in the 50s, but, you know, that was a time of, you know, racial unrest. How come the labels weren't just racist? I mean, I'm sure they were, but they had no problem signing black acts. Wonder why.
Why? I don't know the answer for that, but
they discriminate, you know, everywhere else.
It was always Nat King Cole with the built Capitol Records, you know.
Ray Charles,
Atlantic Records, you know, they would sell records, you know. And that was during the Elvis Presley time and during the Fat Domino time and Chuck Berry and, you know, Little Richard, you know. And then came Johnny Mathis, you know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
There was a time that you and, of course, the Isley Brothers and Earth, Wind & Fire, I mean, y'all were at the top of the top, these two groups. Did you all become friends? Did you know each other at that time? And I just wanted to hear a little bit about that relationship.
Oh, man, my brother was crazy about them. And, you know, right now, Phila Billy is like my brother-in-law or something. What would you say that, baby?
Yeah, Kim.
He was married to
Crystal.
Your oldest sister, and I thought they was like so creative. My brother was friends with
Verdeen. Marvin and Verdeen.
Yeah,
being both bass players
all the time. You know, when they had the record,
That's the Way of the World.
We would have had our record out at the same time, our biggest album, which was The Heat Is On.
Some would fight the power.
But my brother was arguing with me, the brother Rudolph, because he said, it's another song we should have an album. When I was back going back. No, we're going to have six songs, three slow songs in the album on one side and three on the fast side, Fight the Power. So we were arguing back and forth. And that argument went on so long, and we didn't release our records at the same time. But anyway, they had their record was so successful, and our record was the biggest we ever had.
And with all these records that you've written and produced and sang, and you keep talking about records, and I'm like, God damn, that's a lot of records and commercials and all that other stuff. Was there ever a time where things got tight at all in the industry? Like where, because you speak to so many artists, and sometimes they'd be like, yeah, it was kind of tight during this time. We didn't have a hit, or we had to sell this or sell that. Was that ever a situation?
No.
Y'all are always torn.
Well, when Marvin Gaye came up with Sexual Healing, we came up with In Between the Sheets. Mm-hmm. When Teddy Pendergrass did Turn Off the Lights, which we took him on tour with us all the time, and Close the Door, we came up with
Don't
Say Goodnight. And we would call him on the phone, hey, so-and-so-and-so, we'd laugh and talk about that.
Y'all was making diss records to each other.
Diss records back then, right? So it was never, y'all never had no financial situation at all?
No. Love that. Nah.
So it was all friendly competition between all the legends?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Oh, okay. Keep going. You're not going to just throw that out.
There was people that y'all actually had real beef with?
Let me think.
I'm sure the beef is dead now, so.
Right.
No entertainer. Mm-hmm. No entertainer. But the one beef I did wind up having was with Michael Bolton.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When he did Love is a Wonderful Thing.
Did one of our songs, and went to court for so many years. And we won that case, and it's in the book of Guinness because it's the biggest money case that
that he had to pay.
Yeah.
So he just went out and sung one of your songs?
Yeah.
Just
Love is a Wonderful
Thing. But he did, but he and wasn't
I,
trying
and
to
I,
get
And
credit.
I wanted him to, hey, man, settle this. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. He didn't want to settle. Hey, we went to court, and he had 100 lawyers, and we won the case.
Damn colonizer. He just gonna come in.
Dang. And then he finally said, did he ever come back and be like, look, I apologize, or I should have gave you credit, or?
No.
Damn it.
Never apologize for anything.
No. Mm-hmm. He sued his lawyers.
Then he sued his lawyers out for losing.
I think that case was for $8 million,
Jesus. Huh. Did he ever pay all the money? You got all your money?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why they didn't have any problems.
Yeah, that's why
one of the reasons. Ernie, do you think R&B is dead? I meant to ask you that earlier.
No.
Okay.
No. Not as long as there's all of that music, waiting to be discovered or rediscovered, And of course, we have a lot of divine grace still being here. And with our track record and the way that we pursue the music ourselves, it's anything but dead. It's more alive now than ever. So, no.
Now, do people call you or do you call, like Beyonce, or do people call you or you call them? Like, how does that magic come together constantly?
Well, I called her. I called her. We were talking about doing the song early in her career. Mm-hmm. But I called her mother, and when her mother called her, and she said, yes, She's a beautiful woman, man.
Say it again.
Beyonce, when it comes to with us, I think she just... it came out the same time our album came out. Mm-hmm. And mostly a person would say, wait, y'all got to wait. We wanted to do videos and all that, but we understood that she didn't do a video for her record. Mm-hmm. She had other plans, but that's the biggest record for her right now, R&B right now.
Oh, yes.
It's still number one in California.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I hear it all the time. Oh, yeah. I love it.
I wonder what inspires y'all now, because when you speak about how y'all were inspired by Marvin and Teddy Pendergrass, like, who do y'all look around to now and get inspired by?
Well, yeah, I look at, well, it's some of the rappers too, you know, that we're doing records with now. The rapper that Takeoff, and Quavo did a record with us, and we were talking about, you know, what we was gonna do, and what, and when he, and when he, his death came about, man, it's just, you know.
So y'all did a record with him on his project?
Oh, no, only it's on ours. Yeah,
on ours.
And we did a record with 2 Chainz. Mm-hmm. Then we did a record with Rick Ross. Mm-hmm. Then we did with Snoop Dogg. Of course. You know, mm-hmm. So. We look at that, that's the way the business is sort of going. Mm-hmm. So we kind of want to keep our, you know, thing going with that too at the same time, you know. I'm going to do something with Elton John, mm-hmm. And I'm going to do something with Mariah, and I'm going to do something with Kendrick Lamar.
Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah, Lamar, yeah, yeah. I did a couple of songs with him. One a Grammy, yeah. You know.
I Love Myself.
How do y'all have to
Love Myself? I love that record, too.
Yeah.
Like, people slept on that record.
Like, it was like, Who's That Lady, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm. Has anybody told you to go back in the studio and redo the record, like, didn't like your vocals or something like that?
Like which...
Like whatever, like they, like they might not like the verse, like do
the
it again. Or let's say your wife also sings, like, baby, kind of flat today. Go back in there, do whatever. Has that happened with you at all?
No. Not really.
Nah.
You wish somebody would. Like, I wish somebody would.
No, when you listen to It's Your Thing, mm-hmm. that vocal is the first take. Mm. So he did that. He did that live, just one time. You know, so it ain't like go and do it again. You know.
Yeah, most of my songs are one take.
One take.
Even Twist and Shout. Even Shout was one take. Mm.
Just gonna show you know? Off, huh?
Mm. Yeah. You know, I didn't even notice that back there then, you know. Mm. Wow, you know, In Between the Sheets of one take.
One take.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is amazing.
But was there punching? Could you punch in back then? Would you have to do the whole thing over?
No, you could, just did it one time.
You could, but you just rolling, you know, in the band.
So everybody had to be right. The band had to be right. You had to be right. Nobody could mess up.
Well, the band, they already had recorded.
They laid their track down already.
So now, you know, I went out to do the song.
What happened to like the other members of the group? Does it ever sadden y'all that y'all look, it's just y'all two now?
Well, my older brother passed, and my younger brother passed. My brother Rudolph, he decided to go into his ministry. Mm-hmm. So basically, you know, it's just me and Ernie now. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been doing this for about what? How many years?
Quite a few.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You know, more than say 1973 to now, that would be 50.
Wow.
But you know, like if I'm on it, I was a bass player on It's Your Thing when I was 16. So, well, that would be 50, 68 to now, it's 55 years.
Dang.
It's 16.
Wow. Yeah,
16. Wow. My son doing something. This is ridiculous.
Do y'all ever feel peerless because, you know, so many of your peers have transitioned?
You know, I think about my brothers and mm-hmm. I think about, you know, mm-hmm. It's not a day that goes mm-hmm. by without me thinking about my older brother because he's incredible, you know.
Yep.
And I think, you know, I think about him being in heaven and watching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sending up prayers. Yeah. Sending down prayers for us.
Yeah. Watching over you, brothers.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Absolutely. The family bond.
What about artists? Other artists that, you know, y'all might have been close with that transition?
Yeah, I think about people like Sam Cooke. You know, Marvin Gaye's a very good friend of ours. Mm-hmm. Jackie Wilson was very, very close to us. James Brown was, he was crazy about us, mm-hmm. I go back with people like Burt Bacharach. I did an mm-hmm. album with him. Mm-hmm. I think it was one of my best albums, you know, just singing his songs. He just passed. Michael Jackson, mm-hmm. we were crazy about him, mm-hmm. you know. And I could go on and on, you know, people like Jimi Hendrix and all, you just...
Oh, my God, I got to get better friends.
And Aretha Franklin was my best friend. Mm-hmm. And Aretha. You know.
Mm-hmm. Is there anyone that you haven't worked with? Like, is there somebody you aspire? Is there anyone else out there that you think about? You've hit everybody from every generation.
I would have liked, did something with Whitney Houston, and I had a chance to do that.
Yeah, we did.
And I did one song for her album, and we sang, and she flew us on a back to, from somewhere, from Atlanta, Georgia, or something.
The song she did, One of Those Days?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Which was a sample of Between the Sheets?
Yeah.
Ronald was with her.
I would like to seriously did something with her. She's a great singer.
Why didn't that happen?
You just didn't have time, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. It was people that we talked about doing songs together, you know. We didn't look at it like we're looking at it now, right. You know. And you look at it later, and say I should have done, you know.
Man, I love talking to the elders like y'all because it just makes me realize there's so much more life.
You're right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're right.
There's so much.
But I wonder, do you think more now about living, or do you think, like, you know, do you question mortality? Do you know, you think about,
man, I want to live forever.
I believe it. Amen. I believe you will.
I want to live forever.
When you started making all that money, right, do you remember your first time they put you on a private jet and how it felt, or the first big expensive thing that you bought, and what was it?
Well, I remember our first gig that we made like $500 between the brothers, just the three brothers, and man, I had that, you know. And we went to one of those what kind of store is that when they sell clothes with somebody else's thrift shop.
Yep.
Man, I went in there and bought me a. We all bought different suits, and we thought that would
$500.
About $500.
Yeah. Wow.
That suits was $10. Yeah. $20.
Yeah.
You bought 10 of them.
Yeah.
That is great. That was what you remember. Look at that.
And that was a great feeling. I wanted to know when the Versus thing happened. How did that come about? Who called you and said this Versus thing is going on, and what made you say, you know what, this is gonna be a great idea?
Well, my friend Greg Black. He called me and Greg Walker. Mm-hmm. He called me and he talked on the phone for just hours and hours saying, y'all should do this. And he called Switz and I talked to Switz, you know, and we were talking over and over and over. I don't know if we want to do this, you know, and then we had this record that, you know, Friends and Family. And so I said, well, maybe we should do this, you know. Mm-hmm. And we said, with Earth, Wind, and Fire, you know, they called them. And they said yes. And we said yes. And then said, well, it's going to be. And then Steve Harvey called. Mm-hmm. I got to be the. So,
the host there.
Yeah. Then.
Steve loves y'all.
We were just real good friends. Yeah,
and it was good because families got to watch it. My young kids, my parents, me. Yeah. So it was good.
Now, is it true y'all got your own liquor coming out?
Oh yeah,
I know it's brown.
I know.
I got. It's gonna be actually.
Oh, that right there. There you go, right there.
Yeah, I had it in my purse.
You had it in your purse. That's what you just told you to put it up so fast.
right. We got Ronald,
it's brandy,
Isley,
brandy and vodka,
and we got brandy.
Brandy.
That, And Contagious is the name of the brand.
I see the brown one.
Yeah, that's brandy.
This vodka right here. Look at that right
here.
See, look
at that. Toronto Ivory Liquid Gold Contagious. Brandy. 40% alcohol. 750 milliliters.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's supposed to be 80% alcohol.
80%? It's safe.
Anyway.
Tell him he can't read.
No, it says 40. No. It says 40.
80 proof, and they're going to.
It's always double.
Yeah.
But the name of it is Contagious. That's the.
On this brandy.
How many babies you can make with this?
I don't know. I don't know.
Now we gotta ask. I'm looking in the corner over there, and I see a guitar just sitting there. And people don't bring guitars unless they want to use
two guitars.
It. Oh, two guitars. Two. Mm-hmm. People don't bring two guitars unless they want to use. I mean, we
That's
got millions
true.
Of people.
They the Isley Brothers.
We on BET.
Right.
Mm-hmm. No.
Everybody gonna play a song? We got a new song coming out.
I carry my guitars with me. You know, like the character in Peanuts always has a piano. I do. Like, I mean, it's a very secure thing for me.
Really,
emotionally to have. So I knew we were coming here. So it's like, yes, I'll bring my guitars. I don't know whether or not I'll play them, but you know, I just have them with me.
Just in case.
Yeah.
I should have brought a guitar and have y'all sign it.
If you got one do. Somewhere.
We should have put a guitar and had to put the guitar up there.
Yeah. Next time.
You can leave that one. That's
like his blanket. He ain't going nowhere. That guitar ain't going nowhere.
I mean, you got new music coming out.
You know,
as usual.
This liquor is like the record business. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a license to sell this all over the world. Mm-hmm. And we got this license here in St. Louis, Missouri. And I think it's about two black people that have this, you know. So, man, I'm going to make sure this liquid gold, it should be like Jack Daniels for us over with, you know.
Right.
And
can you get it everywhere? Where can we get Ronald Isley Vodka and Brandy?
Online.
You can get it online.
It's dropping Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, it says RonaldIsleyLiquidGold.com. RonaldIsleyLiquidGold.com.
Oh, I'm going to give me a couple bottles.
All right. Well, we appreciate your brothers for joining us.
Yeah.
All right, man.
No, we thank you so much. And thank you all you guys who contributed to this industry and to this world, man.
Yeah, and I'd like to be in your next music video. Again, last one, friends and family, I need a close-up because I shot it myself. So I appreciate the next song. has been a mess. I'm sorry for me, guys. You all get to interview all kind of people. I'm not a fan of a lot of people. I'm really not. And I've been sitting here trembling. I am such a fan that.
But you know them.
You know, I know, yeah. I've been to
his wife came in the door. You said, why you change your number on this? You know them.
I do know them, but let's tell the truth. I see them performing. Mm-hmm. And when we were even at the party, I'm around so many people that when they're around them, it's hard to sit and have a one-on-one and learn stuff. Now, I am coming to the house. You're right. I do know them. But I have never had an experience like this, like you said, to break, I'll say break bread or break liquor, and really get to, you all are always singing. People don't get to know you. Mm-hmm. So I thank the Breakfast Club for this.
All right, now.
Wow.
Well, thank you, brothers. Y'all are icons living,
absolutely.
Man, in a real
thank
way.
You.
Appreciate y'all so
That's
much.
Great, man.
Absolutely.
Well, it's the Isley Brothers. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Well,
thank you.
All right, man. Now, thank you.
Oh, I just got to do one thing for BT, y'all. I will be back with more of the Isley Brothers. It's the Breakfast Club on BET. Don't move. More Isley Brothers on BET. Well, keep it locked. We got more with the Isley Brothers when we come back. It's the Breakfast Club on BET. What up, y'all? It's the DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We're kicking it with the Isley Brothers on BET. Charlamagne, Kim. Thank you guys so much.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.